I apologize for missing last week. It's once a summer, it's usually my wife's family has an annual get-together with all the siblings. We go together to the mountains, and we spend the Shabbos together. It is very nice, Baruch Hashem, but it affects the shir here, so I apologize. For those who remember last year when I went up to for the exact same idea, it was a little bit more of an exciting trip last year. My car broke down on the Palisades last year. It was already a year, yeah. It broke down, and we were pretty much stranded, me, my two kids, and my pregnant wife, on the side of the Palisades on a Friday afternoon. It was pretty scary, pretty nerve-wracking. And Baruch Hashem, a fellow, a young B'nai Torah, a Kail man from L.A., was in town, stopped, and he helped my family and all our luggage and everything. And Baruch Hashem, we continued on our way. Baruch Hashem, this year, I got a little smarter. I decided to get a little bit of a more advanced car, a little bit earlier model. Right, there's Aloch L'Moshe Messina. When you have three kids, you have to buy a minivan. People don't know this. So Aloch L'Moshe Messina. So Baruch Hashem, I had a third child this year, so I had to buy a minivan. So we got a minivan. Baruch Hashem, it's a little newer than the old car. And Baruch Hashem, we made it on a trip without any excitement like last year. But what's interesting was is that towards the end of our trip last Friday, we were driving down the 17, the 42, one of those two very popular roads into South Fallsburg. And all of a sudden, in the corner of my eye, I see a stopped car on the side of the road. I see a young, look like B'nai, a young from couple on the side of the road. So right away, I pull the car over and I, you know, go over to the side. And I said, "You need any help?" And they said, "No, we're good, Baruch Hashem." And I continued on my way. So my wife looks at me and she says, "What are you doing? What was that all about?" So I said, "I can explain to you based on a vow from my friend that he said over 3 years ago, 4 years, 3 years ago at a Tisha B'Av event." My friend was explaining that there's two types of Noisa B'Olam Chaveri in the world. There's Noisa B'Olam Chaveri on your own. You see another person suffering, you feel someone else's pain, you go out to help them. But he said sometimes we're not so good about it. So what happens is we're forced to become a Noisa B'Olam Chaver. Hashem puts us in various situations throughout our lives where he makes us become a Noisa B'Olam Chaver. So I said that's what happened over here. Because of what happened last year, and I went through that suffering of being on the side of the road, and I saw the pain, now when I see someone else in that, I am much more motivated to want to help them. So if I would have been a better Jew, and I would have been a natural Noisa B'Olam Chaver, Kobi HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given me the whole story last year. Because I wasn't conscious enough, I didn't feel enough to what does it mean to see someone stranded. And we always justify, we say to ourselves, come on, what help can they need today? Everyone has cell phones, and they probably, he knows more about cars than I do, and I don't have the room in the car anyways. So we always justify why we don't stop and pull over. But this year, because of what happened last year, I was so much more motivated because I was forced to be a Noisa B'Olam Chaver. And Rabbi Fran brought this out with an unbelievable story. He said the story was that there was a couple in L.A. who took them a very long time to have children. Finally, they were blessed with two twins, two twin girls. And anyone who has twins knows they're not easy to handle. And the couple was needed a little bit of a break. So they went away to a hotel for the week just to get a little break from all the stress of taking care of infant twins. And when one day the wife was by herself because the husband went back to work in the city. And one day she goes to wash her hands for the first time at one of the meals. And she notices one of her babies are missing. And she starts losing it. My baby's missing. Where's my baby? Where's my baby? She starts looking around, screaming in the room. Anyone see my baby? I don't know where my baby is. No one really seemed to care too much. You know, they looked under the table. Oh, no baby. Okay, what are they serving for lunch? No one seemed to care all that much. And she goes out of the dining room and she starts really hysterically screaming, "Where's my baby?" And there's a group of Beis Yaakov girls that were in the hallway. And one girl said, "Okay, let's work out. You go there, you go there, you go to that room." She organized the whole plan of where to find everyone. You check that classroom and you check that room. And she gave all the directions to what needs to be done. And all the girls came back. They could not find the baby. And this mother was really at her wit's end. She lost her baby. It's an extremely scary feeling. And finally, the girl who gave out all the directions, who was running the show, comes back and she says, "I found your baby." I said, "Where'd you find the baby?" She said, "She was in the classroom on the second floor." So the girl said, I checked the classroom on the second floor. I didn't see a baby there. She said, "Well, I checked it better and I found the baby." So she returns the baby back to now a very calm mother. So the mother turns to this girl and she says, "I don't understand. Why did you take such an interest in finding my baby? Why did you take such a concern when no one else seemed to care?" So she said, "Because I'm the sister of Leib Kletzky." We all know the story many years ago where that boy in Bar Park went missing. And Nebuch, the outcome wasn't as good as we would have liked. She said, "He was my brother." So she learned what does it mean to look for a missing person. She lived through a horror of missing a sibling and watching everyone come together to search for him. So she now became a Noisa B'Olam Chaver. Now I'm sure she wouldn't have liked that to be her path in life. But sometimes we don't control it. But this is Rabbi Fran's idea. And it's such a powerful lesson of becoming a Noisa B'Olam Chaver because you have to. Now, that's not the way we want to do it. We don't want to be stuck in terrible situations to have to become a Noisei Balam Chaveiro. But sometimes the Kosh Baruch Hu gives us the lesson of being a Noisei Balam Chaveiro through what he calls Bar Korchai, against our will. In Parashas Ekev, the Torah discusses a lot of very important things. And the Torah gives us a Haftacha in the beginning of the Parashah. The Torah says that if you keep the mitzvahs, things will be good. You'll have an abundance of fruits. And the Torah says there won't be Oker V'Akara Ubem Techa. There won't be infertility. It's an interesting pasuk. That's, you know, the focus of the Torah. There won't be akaras. There won't be people that can't have children. So Nebuch, in the world we live in today, despite all the unbelievable technologies of medicine and all that we have, this is still a problem that plagues many couples today in the frum community. This idea of not being able to have children. And if you ever met with them and you talk to them and you hear their stories, you see how it brings them down. It's such a terrible, terrible thing. So when the Torah gives us a bracha that won't exist, we won't have this. You say, that's the biggest problem in the world. You know, we have financial issues, we have this issues, but for those people that Nebuch suffer it, for them it's the end of the world. So when the Torah gives us a bracha over here, lo yibecha oka, there won't be akara v'akara, we won't have this problem in our society. It's a truly, truly an unbelievable bracha. Again, and as for the benefit of Klai Yisrael, today we have wonderful organizations that help with emotional help, financial help, all the help you can get, but still, and it's amazing to think that in the year 2017, there are people that even with all the medicine in the world, they still are not able to have children naturally. And it's very, very difficult. It's very painful and very, very hard for those people. There's a dispute amongst Paiskim. You know, there are some Chassidish Paiskim that are against all this treatment. They hold on mission right. Because what used to happen back in the shtetl, a person didn't have a baby. They went to the Rebbe gave a brach. It worked, it didn't work. Who are you to mission right with all these tests? But the accepted custom, I think, by most people today, except for a small group of Chassidim, is that we do help and we use technology for our and science for our benefit. But it's truly a bracha in which the Torah is going out of its way to remind us sometimes. We take it for granted. It's truly ultimately an unbelievable bracha to be able to have children. There's a very powerful Sefer HaChinuch. We live in a world today, everyone wants segulas. Give me a school for this, a school for that. The Sefer HaChinuch gives a school for parnasa. And people, I'm not sure why this is not so popular. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch in last week's parasha, mitzvah tof lamed. The Chinuch gives us a guarantee. If a person wants to have parnasa, his lashon is, if you want to have parnasa, mizaynoisav mitzuyim loy bechavit. You want to have your bread by you bechavit. You don't have to go collecting or raising money. Benachas, he says, very simple. Have a zohir bebirchas hamazon. Be careful when you bench. Bench carefully, bench slowly, say every word, maybe even use a bencher. But it says the Sefer HaChinuch, a very easy segula for being able to have panasa bechavoid, not having to collect and not having to borrow money from people, not having to come on to other people. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, a very easy haftacha, a person should be more careful with benching, and that's derived from this week's parasha, where the Torah gives us the mitzvah of benching. The Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, reminds the Jewish people that he gave us the man. Why? In order to test us. That the man was given as a test. So the Mefarshim will deal with, what was the test of the man? It wasn't much of a test. You went out and you took your man. So some say the test was, would you take double on Friday? Would you not take on Shabbos? That was the test of the man. Rabbi Fran explains beautifully that the test of the man was, now that you have all this new free time. Klai Yisrael had all this free time. Didn't have to work. Everything was delivered to them on the doorstep, bring it in. What are you going to do with all this newfound free time? What do you do with it now? Are you going to use it for Avodas Hashem? Or are you going to waste it? That was the nisayon of the month. And he explains that this is a nisayon that many of us live with. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us various gifts, we don't have to work so hard. We're getting older on, we can cut back our hours at work, we can talk about retirement, think about retirement. Questions. So what are we going to do then with it? Are we going to just waste all those precious hours and years that we have? Or are we going to use it for something productive? Or are we use it for Avodas Hashem? To do chesed, to learn, to do good work? That was the nisayon of the month. What would the Jewish people use their time for? This new gift of time, what are you going to use this for? Are you going to waste it? Or are you going to use it for something productive? A fellow told me a story over Shabbos, which is, it's funny but so true. There was a Yid in Bnei Brak who won the lottery. He became a wealthy guy in Bnei Brak. Okay? He was wealthy in Bnei Brak because he won the lottery. But he was nervous of Ayin Hara. He said, what about Ayin Hara? Everyone's going to look at him, that he's wealthier. So he went to Chaim Kanievsky to get a bracha about Ayin Hara. Okay, so he goes to Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky asks him, so what's your day like now? He says, well, now that I have all this money, I'm busy in the morning, you know, doing various work. He said, okay, so Mr. Stumbi, you have more time at night now to learn because you're not working so hard during the day. He said, no, at night I'm even more busy because since I have all this money, they put me on boards and people come to collect money by me. So Chaim Kanievsky looks at him and says, who in Bnei Brak would be jealous of you? You have no time to learn in the morning. You have no time to learn at night. You don't have to worry about Ayin Hara. No one envies you here in Bnei Brak. A fellow who has no time to learn in the morning, no one wants to be you. Halavai, we were at that Madrega where we look at it like that. But that's the lesson over here. That's what the Torah was telling us about the Mon. The Mon was teaching us that we have to realize that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gift of Parnasa or other gifts in our life, we have to see what are we using it for, what are we going to fill that void of now that we're not so busy with the Parnasa rush, what are we going to use our time for, hopefully for something productive. Later on in the parasha, there's a very famous phrase that many people know, and it's repeated many times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, don't fall into the trap of many people, of Koichi V'Oitzim Yodi Asa Liyas Achai Lazeh. I heard this shmuz from my Rosh Hashiva, Bzal Gepsu, it was just last Shabbos. He used to talk about this a lot, that we fall into this trap of thinking that we're running the show. We're powerful, we're smart, we're it's all us. We run the show. If we do well in life, it's because we're so smart, we made that business deal because we have such a good chap, and we think of such creative ideas, that's why we made the big money that we make. He said, that's not the terrorist telling us, it's not true. That's the downfall of Klai Yisrael. When Klai Yisrael starts to think it's about us, we're so great, we're so amazing, it's not about us. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the idea in our head, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this chap, and it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about our capabilities. Of course, we have to do a shtadlus. Everyone knows that. You're not going to be able to do great business deals if you don't know the first thing about business. But you have to realize that it's not us running the show. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's running the show. And this is a problem that we live with all the time. And the Torah is telling us this is the downfall of the Jewish people is when they get comfortable, they get successful. Obviously, if you're not successful, it's no big deal to say you're running the show. Of course, if you're not successful, you blame it on someone else. But when we do well in our lives in the area, and when we are successful, the first thing is to think about, oh, it's us. And this is a problem that many people have. And the Torah is telling us that's a downfall. If that's the ideology we're going to have, we're not going to be successful. We have to realize, again, although not easy, it's not an easy thing to think about, but the Torah is telling us that that's something to keep in the back of our mind when we go through life and we have those good points, those high points in our lives where things are going great and we're being successful and we came up with a good idea and our business is thriving. We have to realize that it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is really a deeper chinuch lesson that we deal with kids. You always try to balance the idea with kids with the idea of called God-given talent and where that becomes, you know, where the kids become haughty about it. A kid has the power, ability to sing. A kid is good at dancing. So you want the kid to realize that they have a gift. And Nivus doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu was an Adam Mikaladim. That didn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu walked into the room and said to himself, I'm the stupidest person in this room. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was the smartest person. When someone asked Moshe Rabbeinu a shayla, he didn't say, I don't really know the answer. He answered the shayla because he knew the answer. And Nivus, all these good traits that we have, we say, I know I have it, but it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not anything about me. It's not my DNA. It was a present sent to me by Hashem, and I'm going to use it for Hashem's world to benefit Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, the world. But I'm not going to deny the fact that I have a talent. I think that would be foolish for a person to say, no, I'm really a nobody. No, you really are a somebody. But your somebody was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to be that somebody and use your talents for good. So that's the balance we always have to have when we have talents. And we all have talents in various areas. We have to use them. And if we don't use our talents, we're wasting a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person says, I have the gift to do X and Y, but I don't want to do it. But that's wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a gift. You have to share it with the world. But you have to realize that it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Later on in the passage, the Torah gives us a mitzvah of a dovak boy. That we're supposed to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the Mefarshim, the Gemaras talk about this in Ksuvis. What does it mean to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can't connect to Hashem. Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eish, you can't connect to fire. So Rashi, at least in Chumash, brings down a Pshat, is refers to someone who marries his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, and someone who does business with a Talmud Chacham. It's a very funny thing. That's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. I would think connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means you support Torah, you give money to the institutions, marrying your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. So I was thinking, it could be the pshat is that, you know, those of us that have daughters, that's very precious. Who your daughter marries is a big deal. You don't just give away to any guy in the street. We look into, we want to make sure that this person is a good person, upscale member of society, he's going to treat her well, he's going to raise a good family. So when a person's deciding who his daughter to marry, this is a big decision. It's very important. And if he chooses to marry off to someone who's a Talmud Chacham, so the statement that the father is making is that this is important to me. I value this. When I'm marrying her to, when I'm allowing my daughter, okay, today the girls do what they want. They ask the parents just to pay for the wedding. But I'm all used to be where the parents were actually involved in who the kids married. So the father was saying is that I want you to marry this person. I'm marrying you off to this person because this is what I believe in. This is what's important to me. And therefore, that's the eidos, that's his testimonial that this is really valued. When he gives his daughter to marry a Talmud Chacham, instead of necessarily giving him to another person who might be have a better job, might make more money, but you say, but this is what's important to me. I want my daughter to be part of such a type of family. And that's the other half of the statement. You do business with a Talmud Chacham. What does it mean to do business with a Talmud Chacham? Many people, their business is very important to them. You don't just do business with anyone. You only want to make the most money you can make. You want to only deal with the most reputable people in the world. Talmud Chacham, yeah, he might be an honest guy, but he doesn't have the same money as other people. Says, yeah, but if I do business with him, I'm showing that this is what's important to me. If I can do business with a Talmud Chacham as opposed to a higher ranking member in the business world, I'm showing where my values lie. And that's why it's considered being davak to Hashem, when a person connects to Hashem by showing Hashem, this is what's really important to me. My family is one of the most dearest part of my life, and my business. The two most important things in any man's life is his family and his business. If both of those areas of my life, I'm completely giving up to Talmidei Chacham, I'm showing, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be part of that world, that's an eidos, that's testimonial to what a person really values. And that's really why it's considered being davak to Hashem. We know when it comes to dveikus Hashem, there's another idea that we're supposed to follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Racham. We're Racham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis. We're supposed to have Rachmanis. So I was at a wedding this week with Rabbi Shai Shecht, and he told me an unbelievable vart from Rabbi Bluth. Rabbi Bluth is a Rav in Brooklyn. He's a Talmud Muvik from Rav Moshe. So he told Rabbi Shai Shecht the following story. He said he was with Rav Moshe when Rav Moshe went to give a speech in Brooklyn. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he writes that every person has to give a tenth, not only of his money, but a tenth of his time. You have to give a tenth of your time to help people. It's not enough to write a check. It's easy to write a check. You have to give a tenth of your time to help people. So I used to tell this to Talmidim of mine, you know, in school many times, if you're better at one course than another kid, you're better at chemistry and your friend's not good at chemistry, so I'm not going to ask you to give money towards your friend, but give time. Sit with him during recess and help him out in the chemistry. So Rav Moshe, a person's obligated to give a tenth of his time. So when he got back in the car, Rabbi Bluth turned to Rav Moshe. He said, a tenth of your time? That's a lot of time. How can you really expect people to do it? So Rav Moshe said, what are you talking about? I was Mekel. I really hold you have to give a fifth. You have to spend 50% of your day you have to give to other people. I was making for the Baal Batim. They couldn't handle it, so I was making. So Rabbi Luke turns to Rabbi Moshe. He says, with all due respect, Rabbi, do you give a 50% of your day to other people? So Rabbi Moshe said, yeah, I can be made on myself that I give half of my day I give away to people. So Rabbi Luke said to Rabbi Moshe, okay, but writing tshuvas doesn't count. Because when you're writing a tshuva, although you're giving back to someone else, but you're learning Torah. Rabbi Moshe said, I'm not counting writing tshuvas in that time. Half of my day is not involved in learning Torah. It's involved in being there for people. Moshe Feinstein. Half of his day, he said, he gave away to be able to be for people. Talk to people, help people, counsel people, whatever it may be. That's what it means to follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe Doitzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to have to take compassion, care about other people. And Moshe Feinstein gave up half of his day. Now, Moshe had a very busy day. For all those, everyone here knows that Ramesh had a very busy day. You know, to give half of his day away for non-directly Torah-related issues is a very big statement. You know, it was funny, last night when I sat down to prepare the shir, so two people called me with different issues. So I said to myself, I don't have time to deal with this now. I have to prepare a shir for Sunday morning. I can't deal with this now. I said, if Ramesh Feinstein was able to give up half his day, I can give up an hour of my time. And I know many Rosh Yeshivas today, Choshev Rosh Yeshivas, that have a lot of on their head to worry about saying shurim, and the Paschaling Shilas, and they give up hours and hours of the day to go to hospitals and nursing homes and talk to people and speak to people. And many people say, that's not right. They should be learning Torah. Okay? Easy for us to judge. But the point is that in the Mahalach of following the ways of Hashem, we have to think about this. Kadosh Baruch Hu spends time being with Akach Chaylim. Kadosh Baruch Hu spends time with people. We also have to spend time with people. Not only sometimes enough to write a check, which again, checks are very good. People love checks. But sometimes they don't need the money. They need you to sit there, sit with them, talk to them, be there for them. And that's really following the ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The end of the pasuk, we'll just wrap up with a beautiful verse from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says at the end of the pasuk, it says, "V'limadatem es b'neichem," the midst of teaching your children Torah. So it says in the pasuk, "V'limadatem es b'neichem," you should teach your "V'limadatem oisem es b'neichem l'daber bom b'shiftecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha b'derech." Says the Sfas Emes, do you want to know how you teach your children? How you mechanch your children? B'shiftecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha b'derech. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you go b'shiftecha v'lechtecha b'derech, when you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're going and when you're coming and when you're traveling, that's the best way to be mechanch your children. Very famous word. Rav Moshe also many times used to say, if a person wants to mechanch his children, he has to lead by example. You lead by example and the kids will pick up. If you do the right thing, your children will follow your way. A lot more than when you give them shmuzim and drushes about what you should do and you do the opposite. Says the Sfas Emes, the best way to v'limata ma'isim es b'neichem. Do you want to know how you want to teach your children what to do? B'shiftecha b'veisecha. You do what you're supposed to do. If you get up every day and you go to daven and you go to learn and you do what's right and you live a moral life, your children will pick up a moral life. However, if it's the opposite, you tell them one thing, you do something else, children do not do well when they pick up on these types of contradictory. And they'll say, they don't realize. Kids are very smart. They know how to use the iPhones better than us. They're really smart kids. They will notice that there is something wrong. That dad does one and tells me something else, they get very confused. It says this Fasemis, a person wants to make sure his children stay on the right path. The best way is to lead by example. That way your kids see firsthand the way to be Oved Hashem. Okay, we left off over here last time. It's been already a few weeks because we had a Tisha B'Av Shir that we didn't have last week. We're holding over here in the Sugya at the end of Daf Ayin Ches. The Gemara over here discusses the following. Omer Rava. Kasav lo get v'nosim b'yaravda. Person writes a get, and instead of giving the get to the Isha, to her hand, or to her chatzar, he puts the get into the Eved's hand. The Isha owns an Eved. Again, however she owns an Eved without the issues of Mashikon, Isha Kanabal, whatever she owns the Eved. So the husband puts the get into the hand of the Eved. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Yoshon, if the Eved's asleep, umisham rasoi, and she's watching it, she meaning the Isha, the owner of the Eved, hareze get, and it constitutes a good get. Near, but if the Eved would be awake, ain't a get. This get would be possible. Why is Dr. Gemara? Because it's a chatzah that's being watched, not by her. There's a halacha that obviously a person's Eved becomes their chatzah, but there are rules for chatzah. One of the rules for a chatzah is that A, the chatzah has to be guarded. You can't just have an open area and say, it's my chatzar. It's machlokes achrayim between the nesivos and the machne. How guarded does it have to be? Let's say I have a backyard. So a backyard is my chatzar. Now let's say I have an open backyard. People come on my property and come off my property. Nothing really prevents anyone. Would that be a chatzar ha-mishtameres? Or in order to be a chatzar ha-mishtameres, it has to be fenced with a gate and a lock. That's a machlokes achrayim. But in any case, it has to be not only mishtameres, it has to be mishtameres l'daito. It has to be that she's in control of it being guarded. It's not enough that there's a security system with 20 people standing at the corners with guns guarding the fence. It has to be based on her. We'll have to talk about why it has to be that way, but that's what the Gemara seems to say over here. And therefore, if the Eved's awake, so although she's standing there on top of him guarding it, but because he's also guarding it, that's not considered Mr. Meres L'Daita. That's what it sounds like from the words of the Gemara.
So the
So we're going to see it's probably Machloikis Rishonim. But let's look in Rashi and see how Rashi understands it. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Hareze get, if the Eved's sleeping, it is a good get, thank you. So Rashi, Dehave chatzera hamishtemeres l'daito. Because then the chatzer is being guarded with her knowledge. Hayil v'hu yashon, since he's asleep, eine mishtamer ella al yado. It's only solely watched by her. So it sounds like from Rashi that the hakpada of a chatzer hamishtemeres is that not the watching is so much the concern. It has to be solely by her and not by anyone else involved. Let's say they're both watching it together. No good. It has to be solely watched by the Isha.
Dafka al yod. Take away if somebody else is also.
So we're going to have to see. This is going to be a big tumul in the Rishonim and Achrayim, but we'll hopefully get to understand this a little better why it is like that. But that seems to be the words of Rashi. The words of Rashi seem to be mashma, that it has to be solely through the Isha.
So the Eved's a non-issue.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that the Eved's doing nothing.
That's why it's good when he's sleeping.
So it's a non-issue, though.
Right. So
what's the whole case?
Like, no, so the chiddush is, so if he were to be sleeping, it's good. If he were to be up, it would be no good. Because if he's up, he's controlling himself. When a person's awake, we control ourselves. We decide if I want to get up, I want to move. Or he could take the get and throw it, do whatever he wants with it. He's in control. Zagdu Rashi, near ain't a get, but if he's awake, it's not a good get. Why? Sho Evan mishamres atzmai. The Evan watches himself. What's in his hand? And therefore it becomes a chatzah mishtemeres l'daita. Who says you need a chatzah mishtemeres l'daita? Where does it say it? So we'll see the Rosh has a certain shot, but if you look, the Gemara we read together a few months ago, the Gemara about an omen earlier in this perek, the Gemara says it's doimet yoda. My yoda, again, everything of chatzah is always derived from yad. Now, your hand, you watch, you control your hand. No one else controls your hand. You control your hand. You move it. You go up, down. You can do whatever you want with your hand. So the Gemara says, "Ma yoda mishtemeres l'daita." Just like your hand is controlled and guarded by you, so your chatzah has to be guarded and controlled by you. That's what the Gemara seems to understand.
Well, but the fact that it's guarded by you doesn't mean it's exclusively by you. You could have somebody else watching your hand also.
Okay, so that's going to be a machlokes rishonim. But in the simple reading of the Gemara over there, that's the way the Gemara says it. Ma yoda mishtemeres l'daita. I have chatzah mishtemeres l'daita. That's the words of the Gemara. We'll talk more about it
what's
as we go on. Okay, we have to talk about it. That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah, we're going to talk about some of these issues. Well, what exactly is the problem over here in this Gemara? But let's try to see if we can get through the Gemara, at least get through the Gemara, and then we'll deal with all the issues. So the Gemara is another kasha. Frag the Gemara. Yashonu misham rasa hareze get. Frag the Gemara and Rava. What are you talking about? If the Eved's sleeping, then the get is good. Why? Amai. Chatzah mahalachasi. I have a new problem. It's a moving chatzah. The chatzah mahalachas loikona. And a moving chatzar can't be kain. We spoke about this at length 2 weeks ago. Just chazar some of the main points. That the Gemara over here, a rov is mechadesh, new halacha, that you can't have a moving chatzar. A chatzar has to be stationary. It can't move. So an eved is a moving. The Gemara also says an animal has the same problem. Animals move, people move, but karka doesn't move. Karka doesn't move anywhere. So the Gemara says it can't be good because it's moving. Now you'll ask me, what's wrong with a moving chatzar? So this is also a very big machlokes rishonim. Most rishonim learn that what's wrong with a moving chatzar is not doimit yad. Yad, your hand doesn't move. What do you mean your hand doesn't move? My hand moves right now. So the Gemara Bar Metzia says, no, your hand's not really moving. Your body's moving. Your hand is really at rest. That's the svar the Gemara gives in Baba Metzia, Taf Tes, that really your hand is not moving, although it looks like it's moving, right? My hand's moving like this. It's really pshat is your body is what's moving and your hand is meinichnei. That's the Gemara says. So most Rishonim, Rav Rishonim learn that the chesaron in achatzim alecha is not doing mitiyat. So again, you can ask me, that's only a problem if chatzim is mitam yad. But if chatzim is mitam shlichos, your shliach, you bet your shliach moves. Why else would you send the shliach if he can't move? So if chatz is mitam shlichos, then why would I not be allowed to use a chatz malach? So the Rashba, we show him as his kasha. But okay, we'll come back to Bnei Neder and Bnei Yeshua to talk more about this. But the Gemara says, moving is no good. Frag the Gemara, what are you talking about? V'chitema yoshon shani. The guy's sleeping, he's not moving. We just answered a line earlier that the guy's sleeping. So if he's sleeping, it's not a problem. The Gemara says, no. V'homer Rava, kosh ilo mahalach leikana. Rava said, anyone that could be moving leikana, omad v'yoshon leikana. Even if at the punk, the moment you're stationary, that's not good enough. But because you could move, we'll talk more about this. Hopefully, Nether. Right. We're gonna have to talk more about this line. Very important in Shitas Rambam. And for the Gemara, the Hilchos Abekafas. The Gemara says, you're right. And therefore, what we're talking about over here, we're talking about where he's tied up. He's kafas. He's tied up. Now, the big machloikis we're showing him over here is: does he still have to be asleep? Did we fall off the notion of him being asleep, or the fact is that tying fixes all problems?
Why should he be like sleeping?
Okay, we're gonna get that's a big machlokes b'shem in the sugi over here. We'll have to deal with that in a few minutes.
What's the object of being able to move?
Oh, so that's tamakasha. Why did the Gemara feel that sleeping was no good, but tying up was better? The same thing. You could be untied, just like you could be awake. Okay, we'll have to deal with all these issues when we see other mahalchim in the b'shem. But that's the flow of the Gemara. What's clear from the Gemara is that there were two problems. There was one problem that it's a chatzai mishtemesh shaloi l'daito, which the Gemara fixed with him sleeping. The Gemara had another problem. It's a moving chatzai, which was fixed by him being tied up. So it's interesting over here. I found in the shulim for Rav David Lifshitz, he asks the following kasha number 3. He says like this: Yesh la'ayin, the divrei haktzoisim in reish yutz of kon heyanal, the famous ktzois that we've spoken a lot about, that the ktzois shita is that when a get works, it's not because the wife is kain of the actual get. Ktzois shita, as we proved many times from the beginning of this perek, the way get works is that you give her the paper, you deliver the paper, and that creates the chalais geushin. Unlike normal things where you buy it and the acquiring of it makes it yours, that's not the way it works by Gerushin. Gerushin works, the Torah says deliver, v'nasan. Doesn't say anything about being kind of the paper. All she needs to do is deliver the paper to the Isha and you Mekai in the midst of Gerushin. So Rav David asked, he says, I don't understand. If that's true, what was the Gemara's kasha over here, Chatzim Alechas Loikana? You don't need to be kind of anything anyways. When the Chatzim Alechas is no good, that's when a Chatzim needs to make a Kinyan. I want to be kind of something. So then I need my chatzit to be able to be kinyan. So Zakti Gemara, a moving chatzit can't make kinyan. But I don't need a kinyan over here. I need a drop off. I need you to drop the get in my backyard.
But maybe that defines what is your, what's the right address.
Okay,
it's not
good.
Something that's it's moving. It's not your chatzit.
Okay, good. That's what I want to talk about.
But if you want to say that by Nasan it becomes Chal, then even if it's moving, at the second that it's handed over,
yeah,
there's a gerushin. So even if it is moving...
No, not if you hold something that's moving doesn't constitute figuration. If this is not a drop-off zone, so then you're not going to be good.
Even though it's an instant...
That's right, even at the moment. So I don't really understand his kasha. Because again, even according to the Ktzais, the way you understand is that this is called the address. I mean, maybe the Ktzais will tell you that you don't need the chutz to make a ma'aseh kinyan, but you still need to have a nesina. So if the Torah says somewhere, which we need to know where it says it, that a moving chatzar is not called a chatzar, so that a moving chatzar is not called an address to give to the Isha. The same way if I were to drop the get in the Isha's next door neighbor's backyard. You'll tell me, according to the Torah, it should be good because all you need is a mice and a sina. No! You need a mice and a sina, lirishusa. But if this is not called her rishus, for whatever reason it may be, so you're not the kind of anasan either. It's hard for me to understand what was bothering him. Now the truth is, he doesn't say this, But we'll see later, if not this week, probably not the next week, that Reb Chaim really deals with the Shah. There's a very famous piece of Reb Chaim, which we've quoted a couple of times. We'll quote it again. Reb Chaim basically declares this Chakira. When you talk about a Chatzim Mahalachas, and a Chatzim Mahalachas Loi Kano, Yesh Lodin, says Reb Chaim, is the Pshat that it's not a Chatzim? It's not a Chatzim. It's not your backyard. Your backyard has rules, regulations, it has to fit a certain criteria. This doesn't fit the criteria. That's one side. The other side says, Reb Chaim, no. It's your chutz, it's your backyard. You can't deny the obvious. But in order for your backyard to be koineh, there are rules. One rule is it can't be moving, and one rule is it needs to be guarded. But we're not denying the obvious that it's your backyard. This is the chakira that Reb Chaim sets up.
And obviously, like if there was an accident that took place in that...
You'd be achroi. Right.
So if it is your reshus.
Right.
So maybe that could end for the...
Exactly. So that's Reb Chaim's chakira. Right. We'll see that Reb Chaim is titled this in Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. But if you understand like Reb Chaim, then David Kasha makes much more sense. Now I hear what he's saying. Right. Now, and he's underlining this chakira. He's bringing out this point. When you talk about a moving chatzah loikonda, what does that mean? Does it mean it doesn't have the power to make kinyonim? Or does it mean it's not your backyard? If it's not your backyard, so then even according to the tzais, it's no good. If the pshat is it can't make kinyonim, so then I hear his kash. His kash is very stark. Now, if you look at his answer, maybe he means it. I'm not sure. He writes in number 3, the efshel loymer, the afle nesina be'ina nesina be'oifen shal maisi kinyon. Maybe that's what he means in his answer. I'm not 100% sure what all these words mean. He seems to be answering that even if you hold like the tzais, you still need to make an asina to a place that could make a kinyan. He could be saying something even more lumdish, which we've spoken about, I think, other times, that even according to the tzais, it's not just enough to drop it off in the backyard. You have to drop it off in a place where if it wasn't a get, I would be able to be kinyan. Meaning, I don't need to be kinyan a get. The Torah says I don't have to. But the definition of a drop-off place is a place where I could technically, if I wanted to, make a kinyan. And since the Chatzim HaLechaz lacks the ability to make a kainah, to be kainah, it's not even enough for an asina. Maybe that's what Rabbi Lifshitz means
though
over here.
Even though
for Gerushin, that's enough. Even though for Gerushin,
it's my
backyard.
It's your backyard.
Right. Could be that's what he means in his answer.
That the address for an asina tracks.
That's right.
Places that you could make a kainah.
Right. That's the definition of the Torah's v'nasan, is to a place where if it would be something else, I'd be able to be kainah.
Otherwise, it's not an asina.
Right, that's what I would have said. Otherwise, it's, you know, if it's not my backyard, so it doesn't help to be Vinasan. The Torah says Vinasan where? To a place. I think it makes a lot of sense to say it like this, that the Vinasan of the Torah is to a place where she could acquire it, even though the get she doesn't need to acquire, because the get works by Karchai, and you don't need to make a Maizekin, but that's the Hakpod of where the Torah wants you to deliver it. Again, when we talk about this, we always bring up this issue, that for the same price, according to the Torah, the Torah could have said, give the get to the rabbi, or put the get on the bima in the shul. Why her backyard more than any other area? It's muchach that there is a connection between her backyard and kinyonim.
Right.
You have to say that, because if not, why did the Torah say put it in her backyard? Why did the Torah say put it in her hand? The Torah could have said put it in the rabbi's house, put it in the government's house, put it by the official of the town and the mayor, and now everyone knows she's divorced. What's happened is put it the biyada. You see clearly that even in the tzais's world, there is a connection between kinyonim and her ability to be kind of nothing. Okay, that's his aura, an interesting aura that he speaks at. Okay. Now the Rosh, over here number 4, has a very stark akasha that when you read the Gemara by us, you have to ask yourself. The Rosh asks the following kasha. When we read the Shtikl Gemara number 1, the Gemara had a problem. That if the Eved's awake, it's a problem that the Chatzar is being guarded, not by her. So the Gemara said, no problem. He's sleeping. Fixes all the problems. Now we know sleeping people don't stay asleep forever, as much as we'd like to, but eventually we wake up and we're back to business. Yet the Gemara feels that the fact that you're sleeping, for the duration of your sleep, it's enough to say that the woman is guarding the chatzar. Yet when it comes to a moving chatzar, the Gemara said, sleeping? No, sleeping's not good enough. He's got to be tied up. So the Rosh says, what's the difference? Why does sleeping work to remove the problem of mishtamer sladaito, but sleeping doesn't work to fix the problem of not moving? When a person's sleeping, they're not moving. We all agree. So why is sleeping enough to take off the problem of mishtemez shlodaitoi, but not enough to fix the problem of a moving chatz? That's the Rosh's kasha.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rosh says like this. In number 4, he writes, "Deloy tikshilach." Don't ask me. The same way we hold that a sleeping person is moving. Mishum daminu, because we say ilu have a near. If he would be awake, have a mahalach, he would walk. Hachanami have a machashiv yoshen sheinu mishtam ladaitoi. Why don't we look at a sleeping person as if he's also guarding himself? Why? Because in the moment he wakes up, he's in control. So although you're right, while he's sleeping, she's in control. But while he's sleeping, he's also not moving. And yet the Gemara felt that that's not sufficient. Why doesn't it follow the same rules for a chatzah mishtemesh l'daitoi to a chatzah mahalach? That's the Rosh's kasha. So Rosh has a very big insight. He says, "Ela b'hocha talya milsa, de'be'inon d'loy la'avi chatzah mahalachas." Talk to Rosh, because you're confusing apples and oranges. The rules for a chatzah mahalachas have nothing to do with the rules for a chatzah mishtemesh l'daitoi. Two separate, distinct rules, and they have different criteria. What are the two rules, explains the Rosh. He says, in order to be a chatzar, you need to be domya diyodai b'inan, the menech naich. You need to be, the Torah says that a chatzar works like yad, and yad is something that doesn't move. The gavra kamamtila, the person moves, hilkach. B'inan dover denaichi tomid. The definition of a chatzar needs to be domya to yad. Yad means it doesn't move ever. You're talking about kafos. Why is kafas any better? Because I guess kafas, in the situation that he's in, will never be able to move. A sleeping person quickly switches over to an awake person. As opposed to a tired person, he's not going anywhere. He needs another activity to change the status quo. Zakti Rosh, v'leishtana le'itim. It can't change. Ben kishu yashan, ben kishu ar, ben kishu mahach, ben kishu aymit. V'yashim. Mishim digzeiris ha-kosov hu. Digzeiris ha-kosov. Says Rosh, don't ask me kashas. It says in the Torah, Yada teaches me it has to be stationary. A sleeping person is not stationary. Aval, hada be'inun chatzah meshtemeres l'daita. But when it comes to a chatzah meshtemeres l'daita, lav gzeres hakosav hu, zok to Rosh. It's not that gzeres hakosav. Mishum di'inun dumi di'yada, you need to be dumi di'yada. It's connected to Gemara and Ayin Zayin and Beis. The Rosh assumes that when it comes to why does she have to guard the chatzah, it has nothing to do with the Torah. Even though the Gemara in Ayin Zayin on the base says clearly it does have to do with the other, but the Rosh disagrees, and he says no. So what is it? This is a logical din. What's the logical din? It's a psychological thing. I don't want to leave my object in an area that's guarded by anyone else except for me. I don't trust anyone else. It's got to be me. So if I'm going to leave my possessions in an area that's guarded by another person, I don't want it. I don't want that to function as a chatzar. Because I don't trust anyone else. I only trust myself. So a chatzar that's mishtameres l'daitoi, my control, that's a chatzar I want to function. But a chatzar that's guarded by someone else, I don't want such a chatzar to work.
So even if this, you do have control, but someone else has control.
Good. We're going to have to talk about it. Yeah, we're going to come back to that Rashi. We'll get to that in a second. Says the Rosh, that doesn't work. El b'makim ha-mishtame l'daitoi. But on the moving part, like Kabin, she actually mishtam l'daitei. All I care about is that it's guarded. So if you're sleeping, that's enough for me to say that it's guarded by me. In a minute, you can wake up. That psychologically, I'm okay with that. So the nekuda over here in the Rosh is that the way the Rosh understood the Gemara, the Rosh understood that the din of mishtameres l'daitei is not exerza kasuv, it's svara. What's the svara? Is I only want a chatzah that I'm in control of. So when you're sleeping, I feel like I'm in control. Now, even though I know that you could wake up and then you become in control, but while you're sleeping, I feel confident that I'm the baal boss of my chatzim. So that makes me comfortable. But a chatzim halachas, it's not like that, says the Rosh. Chatzim halachas is up to the Torah. The Torah gave the rules, and I got to follow the rules of the Torah. Azay zakti Rosh. Now, what's interesting about this Rosh is, as we mentioned earlier, it's seemingly connected to Gemara. The Gemara says in Ein Zayim with Beis that the reason why you're not allowed to have a chatzim mishtemeres by anyone else's das is because it's not daimit yoda. So that clearly the Rosh didn't assume like. Now, there's also another problem over here.
Do we assume that when he wakes up, for instance, that she's giving up or not watching anymore?
No, so that's what we're going to talk about more in the Rishonim. It might not matter. It might be that she has to be the sole guardian of this chatzah. It's not enough to have two people, or me and you. It's got to be just me. I have to make sure there's no one else involved. I'll have to see why in a few minutes, but that's what comes out from the Rush.
And what's the issue of coffee probably? What's the issue of why it has to be mishtamer? In other words, it's my chatzar, so I want to.
So either
Baal puts, it's the wife's chatzar, so the Baal puts.
Correct.
So the get is useless for anybody else but her.
Correct.
So
either according to the simple reading of the Gemara in Ein Zayin, it's because it has to be similar to your hand. Just like your hand, you control your hand, no one else.
So why is it less my hand because I happen not to be there, or somebody else happens to be?
But again, think about it, that if the whole chiddush of chatzar is from the Torah, we have to copy whatever the Torah gave us.
Right.
So if the Torah's layout was, it has to be similar to you, you never separate from your hand. You're always controlling your hand. The way the Rosh is learning it is different. I only want to be creating things in an area that I am guarding. It's a psychological.
It's the woman.
It's the woman. Or anyone. Let's say you have a backyard.
The woman's situation.
Right? In this case, the woman's saying, I only want my chatzar to work, or this to be a chatzar, if it's guarded by me. I don't trust anyone else. I got to be the sole guardian of this chatzar. So therefore, says the Rosh, in her mind, even though the man is sleeping and he can wake up in a minute, that's enough for her. She feels that that's considered enough that she's in control. But when it comes to a chatzar mahalachas, a moving chatzar, no. Moving chatzar is the Torah's definition. Torah's definition is it has to be similar to your hand, and anything that could move is no good. That's the way
Rosh is answered. That Mishtameris, as a general rule, is minatora. It's just whether it has to be midaita or not midaita. That's the part that's not minatora. Or the whole idea of mishtameris is itself not something from the Torah.
I think you can debate that. It's not clear in the reading. Maybe you could say such a pshat to work, make the Gemara work in Ein Zayin. Yeah, it's a good pshat.
Mishtameris, yes.
Maybe.
But whether it has to be midaita or midaita or just by anybody,
possibly.
That could be the logical
part. I think so. I think it's such a pshat. Because it's her chatzar. It's her chatzar. She's the one that's going to be kind.
But I'm thinking about the situation.
Because then it's not kind for her. Her chatzar is only kind to the extent that she wants her chatzar to be kind. If her chatzar is not kind, then the get doesn't work anyways. We'll talk again. We have to see this as a pnei issue that makes things a little bit more clear in a minute. The problem is, and this is a big problem, that there's a shitas Rashi. And a Me'iri and Baba Kama like that, there's a Rashi, Obayas and Baba Metzi. If you look at 4C for a second, Rashi says that what's wrong with a Chatzah Mahalacha, Zak Rashi, 4C, this is Rashi Baba Metzi. Again, this sugya that we just discussed comes up majorly in mainly in three places in Shas. It's Bayas and Gitna'in Ches, Gitna'in Chafalif, Baba Metzi, Daf Tes, and Baba Kama, Daf Yud Beis. Okay, in those Masechtas it all comes up. And the Rashis in different places are somewhat contradictory. That's why I'm mentioning it. If you look in Rashi in 4C, no, I think that's it. Could be it's in Kedushin also. I don't remember.
Yeah.
We have to double check. I don't know. Today it's easier with the computer. You can check it on Eitzar Chacham. But okay. If you look over here in Rashi, Bamatzi in number 4C, Rashi says like this. Look at Rashi. For ha chatzim ha-lecha, see? For chatzim ha-lecha is loy shaminan detikne. We don't hear anywhere that a chatzim ha-lecha could be kaina. Focus on those words of Rashi, that a Chatzim Alechas could be Koine. Keep in mind of Chaim's Chakira, about when we talk about a Chatzim Alechas, what's the issue? Is it because it can't be Koine, or is it because it's Bechlal, not your Chatzim? So here the Lashon of Rashi is a Shtikol Mashma, one side of Reb Chaim's Chakira, which we'll really never need to talk about. Why is it Rashi? The Tikni Dechias Raboi, Me'im Himatzi Simatzi Biyadoi. Where do we have a Reba in the Torah? For the whole concept of chatzar, it says in the Torah, biyoda, in your hand, kaga chatzar v'kefifa esraboy, we include your backyard, your roof, and all these other areas, deloy nayid, because they don't move, the have mishtamer, and they're guarded. So Rashi sounds like the reason why chatzar malachas is no good is because it's not guarded. It's because not mishtameres. Now the Gemara by us is mashma, not like that, because the Gemara by us sets up two separate cheshbainas. It sets up mishtameres, and then chatzar malachas. According to Rashi, it's the same thing. The problem with the chatzar malachas is that it's not mishtameres. It's the same thing. That's the way Rashi over here learns.
So how do you mishtamer? Does he mean by definition they're mishtamer? My roof is mishtamer. I don't have any guard up there. I'm not.
That's something we...
By definition, a chatzar that is...
Which is true. A moving thing is generally not controlled. Now, right. You could say it is controlled because it could be controlled self-contained, right? You could have an area that's self-contained even though it's on the move. Now, it might not be mishtamer al yoda.
Like a car.
Right. But it won't be mishtamer al yoda, because something which is moving, by definition, can't be controlled by me. If it's in another place, how am I going to be able to control?
If I'm driving a car, so it's
moving. Right, so that would be fine. Right,
you're
right.
Moving with it.
That would be considered okay. That would be a chatz malachas. Right. That would be. I think we talked about this too a few weeks ago about the statuses of buses and stuff like that. What would they be considered? Are the people moving? The buses moving? Yeah, we talked.
When it rashes b'ham mishtamer, he means by definition. Even though I don't have any guards up there, I have nothing up
there. But you need a chatzah to be mishtamer, and because it's moving, by definition, it's not mishtamer.
But the other way, if it's not moving, it's my roof.
Right.
It's mishtamer. Even though I have no guards.
Right, so that's fine.
Nobody else could get
right. But then there's another thing that not only is enough to be mishtamer, has to be mishtamer al yada, has to be guarded by you. That's
so,
the second thing.
So I have to be up there, I'm looking at my roof?
So that's a machloikas achreinim of how much do you have to be involved. You have to be standing there, some hold you have to be in it.
There are certain areas that are just the right.
By the definition.
Nobody else is getting
there. Yeah, that's a big shayla. Right. That's a shayla.
There are minefields around it.
We're going to talk.
But how does he put it in there?
He throws it.
You want him to get thrown on.
Sure. So this Rashi presents a major problem. Because if you hold like Rashi, it's one thing, so then the Rosh's answers, the Rosh's kasha is now a shtaka kasha. If you learn like the Rosh, the Chatzim Alechas, the Chatzim Mishtamer is two separate sugyas, and then the Rosh is beautiful. But if you learn like Rashi, that it's the same idea. So how do you split the two? Why, when it comes to sleeping, the Gemara says sleeping? Yo, it's not a problem of Mishtamer. But it's still a problem for Chatzim Halachas. It's the same problem according to Rashi.
Right.
How do you split the two?
Right.
It's a much starker kasha now in Rashi's world, the way Rashi understood it. Now, the truth is, if you look in Rashi in Gittin number 4b, Rashi just says it a little differently. Rashi says, why is the chatzar mahalechas no good? The chiyamir rabbon chatzar shel adam kainuloi, la bechatzar mahalechas omer. It's not by a chatzar that moves. The shani mi karka denaydi, mi mi karkoi deloi naydi. It's different from karka that moves, from karka that does not move. So if Salvechik explains, what is Rashi's agenda over here? If you look up the Gemara, and if you look up what's going on over there, the sugi over there is talking about an Eved. The status of an Eved. So if Salvechik says, Rashi was bothered with the kasha. Eved, there's hokish lekarkos. We have a rule. Eved is always compared to karka. Karka, we all know, doesn't move. So how can you call an Eved a chatzim alechas? It's by definition, a contradiction. An Eved is compared to karka. Karka is the example of the world of not moving. Karka doesn't move. So Frektor Salvechik, so how could you tell me that an Eved is called a chatzim alechas if an Eved is hokish lekarka? So in Salvechik, that's what Rashi is coming to explain. Rashi is coming to explain not all karkas are created equally. In a chenami, we call an Eved karka. But there's a difference between the karka that moves and the karka that doesn't move. And if Salvechik goes on to explain this at length, where he talks about what he calls the chaloy shem karka. Exactly what that means, I'm not sure. But the idea is that when we label something karka, there's rules to that. You can't just call it karka and say, well, it doesn't matter how it looks. It really comes up more in Baba Kamba. The Gemara has a rule, karka eden exalus. You can't steal property. So the question is, what about an evet? I can pick up an evet, pick him up, and put him on my shoulders and steal him. What about karka eden exalus? So that's where Salvation has a whole discussing, are we talking about things that are really karka? They have the shame karka, when you need to be real karka. But he just speaks out, that's what Rashi wants over here. Rashi's bother it is, how can you tell me that an Eved is a chatzim alechas? Eved is the example of not moving. So on that Rashi says no, because not all karkas are the same. There's a karka that moves and a karka that doesn't move. Okay. So what do we do with Rashi Shita? If Rashi's correct, it's Mefurshim Imi Baba Kama Dafid Beis. That the reason why a Chatzim HaLechas doesn't work is because it's not Mishtameres. The Me'imi goes a step further. The Me'imi writes something very interesting, and this is Negea, we'll see in a minute. The Me'imi says, if you look at many Rishonim, they don't even talk about both Sugyas. They don't talk about a Mahalechas and a Mishtameres. Why, says the Me'imi? Because they're all one. A Chatzim HaLechas is no good because it's not Mishtameres. It's one Sugya. That's why many Rishonim don't split it into two. Although our Gemara sounded like it did. The Me'imi says that's what many Rishonim do. So what are you going to be miyashiv for Rashi? If you hold like Rashi and the Me'iri, that Chatzim Alechas and Chatzim Mishtameres are the same problem, how do you read our Gemara? Why does sleeping fix Mishtameres and not Mahalechas if the whole problem for Mahalechas is that's not Mishtameres? Doesn't make any sense. So if you look over here in number 5, from the Sefer Teres Avirim, it's written by Rafal Tchikachinsky, Mishpacha from the Gesher Chaim, I would assume. So he says a shtickel Teres over here, two pshatim. Let's go to the second shot first. I understand that slightly better. He writes, "V'oydi Shloimer, the need the yisoid chesaron mahalachas in chesaron shimur." Number 5. He says, "Ena chenami." Of course, Rashi, the Me'iri, they all hold. It's a bunch of Rishonim that the reason why a chatzim mahalachas is no good because it's not guarded. Mikomokam kavu chazal shetoli b'shem mahalach. He says, "You're right. The reason why a moving chatzim is no good is because it's not guarded. But the way in the rules we gave to it was under the heading of guarding of moving." So what he seems to be saying is like this. You're right. In Lomdis, you're 100% right. A chatzah that moves is no good because it's not Mishtameres. So you'll ask me, but you just told me that sleeping fixes Mishtameres. He says, you're right, I agree. But since the name that Chazal gave to was a moving chatzah, sleeping doesn't take away being moving. Which what he means to say is a little bit of a semantics game over here, that even though in Lomdis it fixes it, but because the wording that Chazal gave to this type of chasarn is called moving, and moving is not fixed by calling it sleeping.
Of course, the guy can get up.
Yeah, which we'll have to talk more about anyways. To me, this is a word game. If the lumdis is the lumdis, so who cares? Call it whatever you want. Call it, I have a different name. Don't call it a chatzim alechas. Call it a no good chatzim. Whatever, I don't care. Right. To me, this is very semantics in the wording. That's
so,
what,
so if a wagon, in those days, right, is a chatzim alechas.
That's a shaila, right? We saw later Achrayim talk about cars, but not really because it can't go on its own. It can only go if you push the pedal.
Not next year, but
you know, I'm saying whenever it could go on its own. Right, when they start flying their own planes, right? But for now, it can't go on its own. So that's a shaila. The Gemara says about Metzia, a boat should be a chatzim halachas,
right?
Because a boat is moving, right. And the Gemara says no, the boat don't move, the water moves, boats stay in place. That's what the Gemara says about Metzia Daf Tes. So later Achrayim talk about what do you do with a car and a bus. Because it's very negeya. Let's say someone finds a mitzvah on a bus. You find the lost object on a bus. So who's kind of the metziah? Or let's say a taxi. Taxi cab driver finds something in his back seat. So who's kind of that? Does the taxi cab owner kind of his chatzar? Is it his chatzar? But it's a chatzar malachis. It's always moving. Is it really moving when it's parked for 12 hours a night, whatever? It's not really moving. So Achrayim talk about this. But in any case, the assumption would be that it moves on its own. So the Gemara's definition of moving is a boat doesn't move. There must be even people. Hands don't move. People move. Hands don't move. Our hands never move. Although you clearly see our hands move. The Gemara says your body moves. That's the Gemara says about Mitzvah. Okay, his first teretz, we'll leave. I don't understand it. I don't understand the second teretz. But in any case, that's what comes out from these Rishayim. Okay, now if we put all this on hold, we now have to see a Gemara in Gittin Daf Chaf Aleph. Now we'll see where things get really interesting. The Gemara says like this in Gittin Daf Chaf Aleph. Omer Rav, Kosev lo get v'nosno bi'aravdei. Let's say a different case. The husband writes a get, and he puts it in his own Evet's hand. Not her Evet, his Evet. Then the Kosev lo shtar martona olav. And then he writes a shtar gifting this Evet to her. That's what the husband does. Zogti Gemara, konso miskereshes ba. First of all, she's kind of the Evet. She now has an Evet that belongs to her. And she's also kind of the Get. Why? Because since the Evet belongs to her, and the Get is in the hand of the Evet, it's her Chatzar. In fact, the Akasha, what are you talking about? My Chatzar Malachasi. It's a moving Chatzar. Human beings move. But Chatzar Malachas like Kana. You can't be kind of with a moving person. But I mean, maybe tell me the moment where he drops into the hand, the Evet is not moving. Rav said that's not good enough. Rav said anyone who could move, even at the moment he's not moving, it's not good enough. Everything, Gemara, you're right. The hilchos are b'kafos. You're right. The case has to be the Evet's tied down. So now...
But wait a second. But if you put it in her yad, she's also moving, or that doesn't matter.
Right. So that's a good point. Where the Gemara says human beings are not considered moving. So the question is...
Then why is he?
Okay, that's a good kasha. That we spoke about, I think, 2 weeks ago, this kasha that the Achrayim had, that an isha is not... Yeah, so the stipler says this yisoid, that the pshat is because... an isha is not koin al chotzer. When you put it into the isha's hand, she's koin because yodah, not chotzer. The rules of moving and not moving are only when you're talking about a chotzer. When you're being koin because it's me, you put it into my hand, then it's not working al chotzer.
So a shaliach is al siyad.
A shaliach would be al siyad. Well, that's machloik, as if...
otherwise it would be a moving chotzer.
Right. So that's the problem. How does shlichus work? Why is it not considered moving? So if you hold shlichus as an extension of me, so then it works. The problem is one of the shittas in the Gemara is that chatzar is matam shlichus. One of the shittas in the Gemara is that my chatzar works like my shliach. So then it should work. That's the Rajba's kasha, right? The Rajba has this kasha in the second paragraph.
He says, I only want you to be kind of this chatzar.
It wouldn't work because I don't think it even makes sense. I don't think it's not shaykh. So we spoke about this with Kivega. We talked about last 2 weeks ago. Kivega had a thing. What happens if you put the get on the top of her head? So Kivega assumed that if you put the get on top of her head, it's being kain al chotzer. Yad is yad, and the rest of the body is chotzer. So we mentioned that the stipler and other achrayim said, well, that's not true. Yeah, all her body is her body. Anything that's an extension of her body is chotzer. Her backyard, her purse, her car. But her body is all hers. That's yad. It's all yad. That's not chotzer. Kveger seems to hold not like that, which is very important of Kveger to remember. Kveger seems to hold that anything besides for her yad would be chotzer. So if you were to drop the get on her shoulder, Kveger assumes that's chotzer. And if he has a kasha, that's a moving chotzer, he has a whole kasha.
Because the yad can grasp it, maybe. That,
yeah, again.
He certainly can make a logical distinction between
we're all trying to figure out how to understand yad on the Torah.
The guy says, I'm makbid, I want you to sit still for a second. I want you to be kind of this alts chotzer.
I'm not sure that. I don't know what that means. That might not exist. Some people might tell you there's no such thing as kinyan chotzer on the body of the isha. It doesn't exist. You know, he can't make such a kinyan if it doesn't exist in the world of the Torah. The problem with this Gemara is that there's no mention of sleeping. The Gemara left off a very important equation. We learned the Gemara by us in Ayin Ches. The Gemara says it needs to be asleep. Here there's no mention of sleep. Here the Gemara says, tied up.
Maybe the Gemara is backing away from it altogether. Maybe when
so this Gemara up. Would be a shtickle mashma. Which Gemara is after? Six is before.
On top.
Yeah, it's after it. So that's Ayin Ches. And therefore, that's
no,
a fakir.
No, the other way around.
That's not.
This Gemara, I mean, chronologically.
Yeah.
Not in
okay, good. Now, I just want to point out, from this Gemara and Chaf Aleph, same Gemara and Bamitzin and Baba Kamba, there's no discussion about sleep. Why is it no mention about the status of awake or sleep? So from this Gemara, it would be a shtickle mashma, you don't need sleep. As long as you're tied up, it fixes all the world's problems. If the Evet's tied up, there's no problems. And it's somewhat logical. Why? Because if an Evet's tied up,
he can't move,
so it's not a chatz malachas. And Mishta Mer, so he's not guarding himself. He's completely guarded. He can't do anything. He's bound up, hands and legs. He's not guarding anything. So Tosfos over here, Tosfos Daf Chaf Aleph discusses this shayla. So Tosfos Daf Chaf Aleph says, Kafus v'yoshan v'inan. Christ says, don't read the Gemara the way I just mentioned the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying it's just sufficient to be tied up. It's not true, Zakta Taisvis. You need both. How do I know Zakta Taisvis? Because the Mashma, come on, Bahazayrik. Because the Gemara that we learned together in source number one. The Amar Kasav Lagev Nasim Yerav, the Yoshim Misham Rasav, he said, get, you mean to get, Tav Echatsim Mishdemesh, Lo Daite, U Parach B'Yoshim, I have a get, Chatsim Melechaz, Vichitim Yashim Shani, Val Merovo, he goes through the whole Gemara. So it says Taisvis, you see from our Gemara in that Fayin Ches, that the Gemara is Mashma, you have to have two things in place. You have to have tied, and sleeping alone is not enough. Tied alone is not enough. You need to have both. Then he concludes and he says, "Upiyish bekunches b'hikam rava dinir ainu get." He brings it right from a Rashi. V'chein pasku aloch is gedolos the kafus v'yoshem bina. It concludes that that's a longer taisa, but the part we need is what taisa quotes from the Bahag. The Bahag also says you need to have both. Okay, you need to have both. Yeah.
Why aren't they differentiating between it's his eved and her eved? In other words,
why would it matter if the problem is in the halachic status of an eved? Either Eved's going to work out.
What happens is he gave his Eved
to her.
No, he gave the get. First he gave the get to his Eved.
So that's a different problem.
So that Nesina was okay.
All right, but the problem was, who was that in the Nesina too?
Exactly.
He didn't make
it's
a Nesina.
It's his property. Right, it's still his Eved.
So the question is, when is there ever a Nesina to her?
That wasn't the Nesina.
The Nesina was of the Eved to her.
Right, but that's something we spoke about many times. Where is the Maisa Nesina of the get to the Isha? You made a Nesina to the Eved, to which wasn't constituted a halachic nesina because he was still yours, and then the Eved became hers. But there was never a physical giving from man to woman of the document.
But if the Eved's holding the get,
correct.
At that point there's a nesina of the Eved who has the get in his possession.
Right, but
why doesn't that work?
Because it's working because the Eved now becomes hers.
So there's no issue of chatzir mishdamer.
It is, because the only way the Eved can become hers is through, and so what? So let's go backwards. Even if the Eved's hers, how is someone kind of for me? Through chatzah. My Eved is my chatzah. But a chatzah only works if it has the right rules in place to be a chatzah, which the Gemara says needs to be guarded, it needs to be not moving. So the Gemara, it's a little, yeah.
It's usually the Nesina.
Yeah, that's a separate issue. Where's the Nesina over here?
The Nesina is of the Eved, not of the...
Yeah. How else do you gift, he had to gift the Eved to her.
So, but why could...
I mean, he could have made a Maisa Kinyan on it.
Yeah,
so we spoke about this before. This Gemara we talked about before. This is where the Gemara talks about the idea, the Achareim talk about the idea that if my power to enable you to be kind of something, that might also be a Nesina. Because the only reason why the Eved became yours was because I gifted it to you. And that's how it became yours, and that's how it became in your Rishos. So that's called I gave it. That was Rashi Shita many times, that Kinyanim
but
work for get.
You gave the Eved, not the get. So the get only became like Agav. It didn't become through the Yenesina. It became through some other mechanism in the Torah, not through my giving you the get.
But when you write a Shtar Matana, so that's part of the raid, and you write a Shtar Matana, so you're the one who makes it happen. So when I write the Shtar Matana, meaning if the Isha would have made a Maisa Kinyan on the Eved, so then the Eved becoming hers would be so much she's involved. But here she's totally not involved. I write the document, uh-huh. I'm the one who makes it, it's all me. That's enough to be Venasa.
Could the Baal Isha override the Torah's requirements? And he says,
what do you mean?
I'm going to send my Eved, that's a Namish Tameris.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go pick up the get
correct.
From you.
Correct.
And I'll bring it back to me.
So that's what we need to get to. That's the famous Rambam Shita, which is on the next page. The Rambam says, let's say that would happen. Let's say the man gives the get to her chatzah, which is a puzzle chatzah. It's a mahalecha, it has all the chesronos in the
she's
world.
She's the happiest girl in the world.
And he brings the get, and he delivers it to, and the Eved delivers it to her hand. So the Rambam says, the get's good. The moment the Eved delivers it to her hand, the get's good.
The case is,
she has an Eved,
right.
But her Eved is a chatzim halechas,
right.
Her Eved is an enim shtameres, right. So the husband doesn't know anything, he never learned gittin, so he gives the get to the Eved. And Zokter Rambam, of course, when you put the get in the Eved hand, that doesn't create any chalos gerushin. Then the Eved comes home to the Isha, delivers it, hand delivers to the lady. Zokter Rambam, now she's divorced. Frek the Rajba, what are you talking about? It's pligitech mi'agabe karka. Where's the Maisa Nesina? So that's Reb Chaim's piece, which looks like it's going to have to wait for next week in Mezah Shem. Reb Chaim's going to discuss this Shaila of the machloikis between the Rajba and the Rambam is if I give the get to an Eved that's not functioning as a halachic Eved, would it be Tligi Dech Me'agabe Karka? What's the root of the issue? Is the Chakir that we said earlier in the Shir. The root is, when you say a Chatzim Alechis is no good, is the Pshat that this Eved is no longer an extension of me? Or the Pshat is that he's an extension of me, but I have no rights to make Kinyonim in this extension. But it's still me. This is still my Rishos. So if you hold the Nasim B'yodah, it just means put the get in my Rishos, you did that. Now, I can't be kinyan because at this type of Rishos lacks ability for Kinyan. But we don't need a kinyan.
That's
right. You don't need a kinyan, right? So that's what we're going to see later on. Rabbi Chaim is going to be toila this chakira.
Yeah, it's not capable of a kinyan, then.
Right, right. But it's not going to be tligitich again. The problem with tligitich me'agabakar is when the husband makes an asina to a rishus, that's not hers. The husband puts the get in the middle of Central Avenue. That's not her rishus. But if the husband put the get in her eved's hand and her eved is considered her rishus, ain't a chanami, she won't be kain it yet. But it's enough, says Rabbi Chaim, to be mekayim the din of a nasan, and she'll be kain it when I make the kinyan later. It won't be tligitich. We have to see more.
But
it's a very serious piece of
Chaim. Eved was tied up. Everything.
Right. Then you'll be kind of right away. Okay. And Mitzvah next week we still have to finish up with this Taisvis. We'll talk more about the Mishnayim and the Sugya.
When the Gemara is